Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears. Well, hello there.
Hi.
What is this show podcast thing?
This is a podcast called Fillory and Father.
And who are you?
I'm Evelyn Rogers. And who are you?
I am your father, Scott Rogers.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, now you do. And knowing is half the battle.
Indeed.
So, what are we doing here?
A podcast about the magicians and magicians-related things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about Season 1, Episode 12, 39 Graves.
39 Graves? What did that have to do with anything?
Did you not pay attention to the fucking plot of this episode and the things that were revealed of the larger plot of this episode?
I don't remember anybody talking about 39 of anything.
Okay.
What was the 30?
Dean Fogg!
Oh, gotcha. 39
oh my god!
Times. Gotcha. That's a little too obtuse for me.
Oh my god.
Well, wait, where are the 39 graves?
Not yet.
All right.
The episode starts with Katie and Julia going down like an alleyway, and they find like a door, and it has like a Our Lady Underground poster. It's graffiti. It's like, really, it's just like the Virgin Mary, because they're like, yeah, everyone will understand
that.
They can't afford their own iconography. So they press like a button and they go down an elevator. And then
no, they go up an elevator.
Up an elevator.
You know why they go? How do you know I know they went up?
Because it dinged?
No. That's not that. All elevators ding.
You don't know that?
Ding dong. No, because when they were in the place that they ended up with, you could see the skyline.
Ah.
So obviously they went up, not down. Although it was made to think they would go down, right?
Yeah.
But no, they went up.
But they went up and they find this dude playing video games.
Yeah, was he playing Call of Duty?
I don't know, but he was yelling a whole bunch.
He's probably playing Call of Duty.
He's wearing like this fancy bespoke suit and he's got like a top knot and like this shitty little ponytail.
Yeah.
Because he can't fit all of his hair.
And that guy's name was Herman.
No, we never got his name.
Yeah, Herman. Didn't they say the Herman?
No.
They went to visit Herman.
No, because last episode they're like, OLU was like, hey, go talk to, like, there's a man you need to speak to. You need to bring him 3 gifts.
Right.
And then that'll help. It'll give you the rules. It'll give you, like, the thing to find me, which is like, girl, just, like, do it yourself.
Yeah, I know. Why go through all this?
Well, you know why.
Because they had to hire another actor. Actors need work.
That, yes. But also because
man,
it's
man
all
with
one
terrible
elaborate trick.
Man knot.
As we will find out. Not right. This episode, but the next one.
Oh, what, is this a trick?
It is.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just that obnoxious video game player.
Well, you've just forgotten. You've forgotten everything that happened at the end of Season 1 and all of Season 2, which is, to be fair, I also have purged most of Season 2 from my memory for no reason other than
you have to store other things in your brain.
Yeah, like all
what
of
is,
Season
what
3.
What is in your brain?
What is in my brain?
Yeah, like if you were to draw a pie chart of your brain... What would the pie be?
Mosaic episode.
Right.
And then, like, Escape from the Happy Place. And then it's, like...
But that's all
that's
in your brain?
And then it's, like, Episode 1 of Season 2, Knight of Crowns. And then it's, like, first episode of The Magicians. And that's it. It's all...
But that's all you have in your brain? Is
all
that?
In my... Everything else is, like, rattling around in the back. Like, I could pull it out if I... Oh, and all the books are in the forefront. At all times.
But that's your magician brain.
That's my magician brain.
Oh, I was talking about just your
my
brain.
My normal brain?
Yeah.
Anything that I see first.
What do you mean?
My attention is all over the place.
Obviously. All right. Anyway, yeah. So Herman, they meet Herman.
Are we calling him Herman?
Herman the Hermit, right? Didn't
he's
they
not
say
a
he's a Hermit?
No.
He needs
he's just
a name.
Some dude. He's
Let's
got like a
up.
Giant-ass cigar he's
yeah,
smoking.
I'm creating continuity here.
You're giving him a name?
Yeah, his name's Herman.
His dad's original OC.
No, it's what happens. So like when you watch something and they don't bother to give the character a name, you get to name them. That's just the rules of podcasting.
Of podcasting?
Yeah, so that guy's Herman.
Okay, his name is Herman now. And he's got a giant-ass cigar. It made me think of my art teacher who smokes giant-ass cigars.
Okay.
I know.
Random.
Yeah.
But yes, they bring him gifts, flowers, and honey.
Honeycomb.
And then they said, where's the third gift?
Like, where's the third? And they're like,
now, first of all, here's the thing. He says, where's platinum? They're supposed to bring him platinum, right?
Just
platinum's
get
not that hard to
just
find.
Just go to fucking Claire's, guys.
Go to Claire's and get some earrings?
Get some earrings. You're done.
All right.
That's all
you
need.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea, actually.
But Julia's like, no, no, no. We didn't bring platinum, but we did bring something of great and shining worth. Our faith. And he's are you sure about that?
But that's the thing, right? Like, all right, if you were to make a deal with a devil or Herman or something, and the devil was like, you could either bring me a diamond or your soul, which one would you bring?
Diamonds are actually really, like, easy to
require.
They're
super common, right?
Yeah, they just
platinum is like super common.
Yeah.
So why Julia and Katie dummies for bringing
just
not...
go, flowers, honeycomb, go to Claire's.
Right.
Solved.
You could get the flowers and the
honeycomb at Claire's.
No, no, I don't know about the honeycomb, but you definitely can get the flowers and the earrings.
Did a god ritual at Claire's.
Right, and then you can maybe get the honey from go to Coffee Bean.
No, just go to a strip mall.
Just go to Coffee Bean.
Go to Coffee Bean, you'll get some.
Oh no,
platinum.
Even better, go to the bath place and
Bath place?
Yeah, you know,
Bed Bath and Beyond.
The ones with the bombs that smell nice.
So Lush or Bed Bath and Beyond?
Like Lush or something. They have like honeycomb, right?
They probably do.
Yeah.
I could ask my friend Maddie. She
I'll
works
bet
there.
You just go to the mall and you can
yeah,
like
just
find
go to
everything.
The mall and just, you know, they could
so
just...
much effort just
I know.
For something they could go to the mall
I know.
For.
Well, maybe there's not a lot of malls in this version of
in
New York.
York City?
No, in this version of New York.
All right.
This is Magician's New York. We don't know what it's like. the Herman. I'm just going to call him Herman. He's like, I don't see 100% faith over here. You, Miss Katie, are still doubting. And he's like, you are, like, still upset over your mom. And he goes up to her and he, like, touches her forehead. And she's like, whoa, this, like, tightness I've had in my... It's so weird ever since my mom died. And now it's just gone. And he's like, yeah.
That's pretty power. Good. That's a pretty good power, though, right?
Just to, like, get rid of headaches.
You know how that guy, if he charged, like, $5 to relieve... people's stress, and it was 2020, he'd clean up, right?
Oh,
he'd be
yeah,
a millionaire.
Absolutely.
Everybody could use a little stress removal.
But Julia's like, yeah, so, like, give us what we came for, and then he, like, suddenly chokes her.
Yeah, I know. He gets all weird. What is it with the guys
show,
in this show?
The Magicians, like, the TV show hates women. Like, I'll just, like, say that. Like, yeah. Terrible things happen to women in this show all the time. And not just, like, circumstances, also they, like, they dress Alice badly this whole time.
That, well, we'll talk about.
That's a terrible thing
we'll
for women,
We'll talk about Alice's clothing this episode later.
It's a disservice.
Because it reminded me of something.
Of my 8th grade graduation dress?
No, that's, what? No, that's
it made
not,
me think of, because no. It's just like a tube dress.
All right, let's just talk about it now. So, Alice, like, I don't know if it remembers later or not, she wears this... sweater that has like a zigzaggy pattern on the front, right? And it reminds. Have you ever seen The Thing?
No.
Oh, you get.
I purposely
watch the
avoid.
Thing. No, we should
watching
watch the
creature
thing.
Movies.
No, we should watch The Thing. The Thing is good.
Well, I'll continue with
right.
with your thing.
Sorry,
about the
this
thing.
Is spoilers for The Thing, but there's a part.
It's not a thing podcast.
It could be a thing podcast. It could be a thing. So there's a moment in The Thing where The Thing, you know, takes over people's bodies and then turns into big squishy monsters
and
with a lot of teeth. Mm-hmm. And there's a part where this guy is dying of a heart attack and they're like, quick, get him, get defibrillator. And they get the defibrillator on him and they go to zap him to like bring him back. And then the guy's chest opens up and it becomes like a big mouth and it bites this guy. Right. And so the big zigzag the whole time I'm looking at
mouth.
Alice. Yeah. Like, Alice has this big thing mouth on her chest
oh,
the
no.
whole time. I couldn't keep my eyes
that's,
off of it.
Yeah, that's, yeah. But a lot of bad things happen to women in The Magicians, just like in general, all
that's
the
right.
time. All the time, bad things happen to women. And
like bad fashion.
Bad fashion and also bad things.
Yes. All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, so.
But he like chokes
Herman,
her suddenly.
Yeah, gets all physical.
And he's like, how do you know you deserve to see her? And she's And he's like, oh, you magicians, all you want is power.
What is Herman, though?
He's like a... He's magician, like a, no, right? He's not a magician.
He used magic.
Yeah, but he's like a mythical being. He's like one... He's like...
Like a centaur?
No, he's just like some random, like, magical creature. That's why they had to go talk to... Because she's, like, associated with him. He's like her emissary.
Could have at least given him like a tail or something.
Yeah.
Or like a cloven.
He's got a tail. He's got his little ponytail. Right. Yeah, but she's like, listen, I used to want power, but now I just want to do whatever the fuck it is I'm supposed to do. And she's like, I think that we, her daughters, OLU's daughters, need to have a lot more ambition. And I'm like, yes, girl, go get it.
Yes, I wrote.
And he's like, damn, okay.
Well, hang on, I wrote. Every dad wants, or parent wants their daughters to show ambition.
Yeah. And he's like, damn, okay, here's the invocation. And then he, like, pulls her down again. He's like, hey, yeah, but Julia, remember, be careful, know for sure who you were calling, because you can't unring a bell.
Now, you made that noise a lot this episode.
Yeah, Mom and I both did.
Yeah, all right. Well, obviously you remember things I don't. Uh-huh. But, yes.
But then he does a little magic wipe, and they're back in, like, the alleyway, and it's fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy the magic wipe. And then we're back to the cottage, and everyone, the Scooby Gang is there, and they're all fucking awkward as hell. And they're all, like, sitting 6 feet away, social distancing at its finest, no mask, though. And they're all, like, looking at each other awkwardly. Elliot's smoking on, like, the little,
Yeah, they're all, suffering from the after effects of their...
Not couch thing, like, window nook.
Yes, yes.
And
they're all suffering from after effects of having sex and cheating on each other.
Yeah, and then, like, there's little flashes
again.
And Penny's
trying to find out what's going on.
Penny's trying to, like, explain what's going on, and he keeps getting... It's clear he keeps getting flashes from Quentin. Like, Quentin is, I think, remembering in that moment. That's why we see, like, the little
clips. Yeah, it's Quentin,
then,
but
like,
I don't think it's Penny.
Yeah, but Penny is the one who hears Quentin's thoughts the loudest, so wouldn't he accidentally get, like, some feedback?
Maybe, I guess. But
that would be so awkward.
But he didn't figure it out right away.
No. So. But then he's just, like, it's real awkward, and... He's like, guys, we don't have time to wait. And also, he made this cute little map of the Netherlands. It was so adorable. He did a little drawing. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. And he's like, oh, seriously, guys, what the fuck is going on with y'all? And then we get to see a silent scene of the aftermath of immediately what happened last episode when Quentin woke up and Alice was at the foot of the bed after they had all fucked. And he, like, follows her out and they're yelling at her. She slaps him and she mouths my favorite line. You fucking whore. And then we never get to hear her say it. I'm so sad.
Why is that your favorite line?
It's my favorite.
Why?
Because Quentin deserves to be bullied in that moment.
I don't know if horror is the right word to call Quentin.
Yeah, well, that's what she chose, and I respect her for it. Okay. I think it's great. Once again.
Maybe that's why they muted it.
Hey, listen, if we had a little bit more misandry in our lives, I think everything would be a little bit better.
A little more what?
Misandry.
Misandry?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Hatred of men.
What am I doing on this podcast with you?
But
are you trying to kick me off?
No, I love you.
You do realize I'm a man, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just checking.
But then it cuts back to Quentin, and he and Margot start arguing, and he tells her to shut the fuck up, which is very rude. He's very mad, and they're all very upset.
They're all mad.
Yeah.
Because they're all emotional. Well, yeah.
They're all processing what happened, and they're like, well, that was all a bad decision.
I think they're all still suffering from after effects of emotion juice.
Yeah. But then we cut to drinking at Julia's apartment. They're having, like, a little party, and Menelie comes up to Katie and Julia, and they're talking, and she's like, everything's about to change.
Yeah, you know when people say that in a movie, what happens?
Bad things are
going
to happen.
Everything horrible happens.
Yeah, and then we cut to Alice's room, and she's drinking triple sec.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was
not a good
mom's
choice.
Reaction, too.
Bad choice.
She's like, I'll shame you for that.
Penny comes in.
Penny comes in and he's like, hey, you're the least crazy. Tell me what's going on. And Alice is just like...
Penny's like, you're drinking lousy booze.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't worry, I drank lousy booze when I was a kid.
I drank Midori in high school.
To try and get rid of the voices of the beast in
my
head.
And he's like, listen, nothing works forever, so stop worrying about forever. There's plenty of shit that can get you through the next hour. And it's like, yeah, friendship moment. We love those.
Penny just coping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's helping, though. He's being a nice friend.
He is being a nice friend.
And then,
but
then it's Richard and Julia.
So is, all right, hang on. All right, Richard and Julia, they bone down.
No, they, yeah.
And then
they bone down and they talk to each other and he basically says his goodbye to her.
Right.
And
why? Where's she going?
Well, he wants to go with OLU if the ritual works. Mm. He wants to go to where his son is and his son is dead.
So he wants to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And then what is he going to do?
He says he just wants to go there. He wants to find his son. And then, you know, wherever she puts him, he'll go because that's all he wants. And he says to Julia's very sweet scene where he says, the thing in you that wants to puzzle everything out is gold. And that, you know, you being like angry and cranky all the time, that's like your that's like your fire. And I think he says that like we lost the fire a long time ago, the fire to keep yelling the names of the gods, but don't lose that fire, he says to Julia.
Right. It's nice to know that Richard agrees with me that Julia is cranky.
Ugh, God. She's very tiny, 5'1", Stella. She's very small.
All right, so...
Then it's Quentin and Elliot and Margot, again, in the cottage, and...
Hang on a second, I wrote...
What?
Oh, in this scene with Julia and Richard right before...
Right they before gave each they other bone down?
Yes, they had. They gave each other this very awkward look.
Uh-huh.
And, like, this seems to be code in this show for we're about to have sex.
The awkward look.
Every scene that has had sex in this show so far is always started with somebody giving someone else an awkward look.
Love that.
Let's, maybe we should have had a little counter going of all the awkward looks in the show. And mm-hmm. then whenever that happened, we go, all right, did sex happen afterwards? Ding! Yes. Awkward look meter activated.
Yes, but it's Quentin, Elliot, and Margo, and you know, Quentin's still pissed, and
they're still mad at each other,
still arguing, and Margo says, people don't get to be mad at me because I had sex with them. You're welcome. And I'm like, yes, girl. Love that for her.
Maybe not the most appropriate thing to say,
but
though.
It's still pretty great. and then, you know, Quentin is like, you guys, like, fucked up my life, and... You know, Margot and Elliot are like, well, you did that pretty good for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, Quentin can't put that on them.
He can't because he was the one who was in a relationship.
I know.
It's the majority is Quentin's fault. And then he like storms off because he's like, you two ruined my life. And Margot says, is it wrong that I've started to side with the beast? And then we see a single scene of Free Trader Beowulf in their little white outfits in a little circle, in their little summoning circle. And then we cut away again, and Quentin's doing card magic, and he literally changes one card's
magic, yeah.
like face to another. It's pretty great.
Yep.
Good
effect. Do you think he like that was an actual trick that he knew how to do, or was that computer?
It was computer dad because you can't. We could ask Jack later.
Yeah, my son.
My brother does magic.
Yes, but he could maybe make a card flip that fast. Do you think?
No, he like literally changed the face on it.
Oh, okay.
Like
I thought it was just.
It went from like, it was like a diamonds or something, and it went to like an actual like.
Face card. All right, I thought it was Jason Ralph just doing a good trick.
Jason Ralph is an actual magician, just like Hale Oppelman is an actual magician dad. There's no special effects on the show.
Maybe
they all actually do it themselves.
Maybe they hired him because he can do
real magic.
No, not real magic, unlike Elliot. No, Jason Ralph, maybe he knows how to do, like, card magic. Do you think he knows how to do, like, card magic?
I think they taught him how to do card tricks.
Do you think he knew ahead of time?
Maybe he prepared that way.
Maybe it was on his resume?
Maybe.
And then they were like,
well,
maybe
they're like, damn.
Maybe like, well, we got about 6 other people that would probably do the job just as well. But this guy knows how to do card tricks.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's kind of like if you know how to ride a unicorn. You know how to ride a unicycle, you know, maybe you can get a job because you know how to ride it. I mean, that's like...
I don't think a lot of people have that skill anymore.
I want to say, like, riding a unicorn?
A unicycle.
So, like, I think Heather Graham, like, won the role in Boogie Nights because she knew how to roller skate.
Okay.
I think that was, like, that's why they gave her the job.
It's not a Heather Graham podcast.
I wish it was a Heather Graham podcast. She's hot. All right, anyway.
By the way, the reason that Quentin is doing card tricks angrily and sullenly is because he walks up to go talk to Alice and he hears her and Petty fucking through the door. Yeah.
Well, first of all right, two things.
It's very funny. Just imagine them like smacking a bed and making fake moaning noises. Like acting on the other side.
First of all, that's Foley.
Of course it is, right. But it's still funny to imagine though.
The two of them just standing there,
making noises.
All right.
Rocking
so
the
here's
bed.
The other thing though. I think that this was a mistake. Not Alice and Penny. I mean,
they got chemistry.
Well, yeah, but what they're I'm a nice what's more a mistake was that they rushed into it. I think in the book it like takes longer to get to
it's
that.
Not that long.
That's
because there's the timeline in the book is much longer.
Well, I know, but it's weird because like the TV show is like compressing everything a lot
and lengthening other things.
Right, but it's like this
part was the important
action
part of the book.
Reaction, though, in this, like in one episode, they could have milked at least
two episodes out of this. Is, you know.
Right.
One episode.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, they stretched the threesome out over two episodes.
Are you saying they stretched the wrong plot points?
Maybe.
I think also it's like padding for. I don't know if they had a guarantee about season two
by the time
that they were making this show.
Right. But so here's, then they, I know, they to, wanted to get to it.
Yeah.
They wanted to get to the sex. I get it.
Well, no. That, like, they had to stretch out the other plot line in order to give, like, a kind of, like, cliffhanger. And, like, there's a semi-cliffhanger ending to the first book.
Right.
But, you know, it doesn't end in, like, in media res.
I noticed that the cliffhangers in this series happen in episode 12, not 13.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you could end the season on episode 12, and then that's, like, that's not a bad cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Right? So, all right, but what I'm getting at is this. Alice, the speed in which Alice has kind of... I'm going to say this. You're probably going to hate this. She has revenge sex, right? Would you not call it that?
I mean, and I think in a way it is, yes, that. But okay. I think she also genuinely was picking up what Penny was putting down.
Yeah. I get it. But what I'm saying is the speed in which...
I think when the opportunity arisen, it was the perfect time.
Well, but what I'm saying is that I think that the speed in which it happened in the TV show... compared to how it happens in the book, made it come off a little bit more vindictive than it was in the book. Right? Like, it's kind of like, you had sex with someone else, I'm pissed off with you, now I'm going to have sex with Penny.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it wasn't that intentional, obviously, but that's, like, what it felt like more. And so, once again, I think that they did themselves a bit of a disservice because it undermines really what the intent, I think, was of that scene.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it just comes off as, like, I'm getting back at you.
Yeah.
I'm having sex. So.
Sucks, man.
It does suck. Revenge sex. Is that the best sex?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've never had revenge sex.
But Alice comes down the stairs. Quentin's doing his angry magic tricks. And he's like, wow. Didn't think you had it in you. And she's like, you don't get to shame me. And she's right.
Yeah.
He is the one, again, who fucked up 100%. And he's like, listen, I made a mistake. I'm like, oh, Quentin, you made a mistake? You know, it takes several decisions in order to get to that place. In order to cheat on someone.
I can't wait to see you in more relationships.
It's just...
I feel sorry. I mean, you're going to find somebody wonderful.
Wow, Dad.
But if they mess up, I feel really sorry for them. Because you were going to eviscerate them.
Woo! But Elliot interrupts their beginning. They begin to fight. And Elliot interrupts them and he's like, listen, you guys need to put your shit away and bottle your emotions right now. Because the beast is going to come in like a week and we have to leave now. And so they, you know... emotion bottle.
Yep. All their emotions.
Bottle them up. They spock up. And then Alice says, how I was feeling about Quentin would have gotten us all killed.
Well, what I love is that she was like resisting.
She's the very last one to drink it. And she has to say her
little
spell super fast. No, he doesn't because he's not doing battle magic. He's the transportation.
But wait a second though.
He doesn't want to do it.
But he does. He's the one who uses battle magic later.
No. Alice does.
Uh-uh.
Alice is the one who pushes the dude in the
fountain. No.
Dad? That, I understand. I know what you're talking about. But that also, remember that that also happened when Ellie did it. And it and Katie said to them earlier that battle magic happens when you have a like strong emotion.
Right.
And then it's also like, if you're really practiced, you can do it at will. Okay. But like, if you have a strong emotion, then it can just come out of you. Gotcha. Like when Quentin tried to attack Penny
in the second episode.
That's, you know,
Something I actually do remember.
Woo! And also, Quentin, when he's, like, emotion bottled, he says that Penny and Alice would make a cute couple. And he's right. But then they get to the Netherlands, and they all come out of the little fountain, and they're all ganged up together, the little Scooby gang. They're all ready to go. And then Alice, and, like, loses the map.
And then a little breeze comes along and blows the map into the fountain.
And Quentin's like, oh, shit, hold on, guys, I'll go get it. And then all of those,
I think it would have been funnier if there was, like, a scene where, like, Quentin's like, I'll get the map. And then he gets, like, a branch, and he just spends, like, 5 minutes
just trying to get it
out of the water.
Yes.
Right, think of the tension. And then it would be, like, a shot of Quentin trying to get the stick out of the map out of the water, and then, like, some of those mercenary guys coming, but they're, like, really, but they're, like, really far away. And then Quentin's, like...
That's just, like, storming the castle in Monty.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then he's, like, going to try to get out of the water, and then they're keep coming,
yeah,
but they're actually not getting any closer.
Yes.
And then he's trying to get it out, and they're not getting any closer, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're right there.
And they push him in.
They should have let me direct this episode. I would have done it so much better.
The Magicians is a sad show, Dad. It's not funny.
Well, you could make it funny. There's funny moments.
I thought the Magicians was a comedy. Well,
maybe it could be. It could have been.
It could have been.
Maybe they could remake it as a comedy. Okay. Like make it like Friends.
Haha, guys, magic is pain. Am I right?
What about Friends though?
Right. No, it's like the nihilist thing where it's like nothing in life matters. Nothing in life matters.
So like the Big Bang Theory or something?
No.
Could you imagine what would that show be like if it was the Big Bang Theory?
So bad.
Magicians.
So bad.
Well, the Big Bang Theory isn't a very good show.
Quentin just says bazing.
Bazinga. Hey Alice, to the moon. These days to the moon.
Right. but like the spawn campers in the Netherlands, like
the spawn campers.
That's what they are, basically.
They are spawn campers.
They like come upon them, and Quentin gets like he falls into the fountain,
and the girl falls, shoots like a fireball at him, and she misses. Right, yeah. Pretty lame.
We'll talk about stormtrooper.
Yeah,
aim.
We'll talk about that lame fireball shooting ability again later.
Yeah, but Quentin falls into the fountain, and oopsies, he's back on Earth, and he's like, oh fuck.
All right, what
and
do
then
I do?
We cut to
Scooby Gang.
The Scooby Gang minus Quentin in the library.
Yeah, falling into the library.
Yeah, and they come across
actually my favorite moment in the episode.
When they fall into the library?
No, is when they all pop up and Zelda shows up.
Zelda shows up and she's like, Oh, Elliot, Penny, Alice, and Janet. And she's like, actually my name's Margo, and she's like, this time.
Yeah, I love that. That was actually...
It's very good. That's my
still,
favorite.
I still need to know why they changed her name, though. Like, that drives...
It's just different.
But it drives me a little nuts, right? Like, it's so random. I mean, I get if they're trying to drive home the point that it's a different, slightly different reality, then that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a long way to go for just that joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, when I first saw it, because I hadn't read the book,
mm-hmm.
it went right over my head, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like all that wind up for like a joke that doesn't land in all of your audience, right? I mean, now I love it. It's like my favorite line in
little
the episode.
Nod. It's so good.
But that's what's fun. The little nods, right?
I love
but
the little nods.
But if you hadn't read the book,
yeah,
complete whiff.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then Zelda says, you know, you can't have any food or illicit substances in the library, which means the emotion bottles.
Or booze.
And, yes. And she's like, it always causes trouble. And she tries to pull it from Elliot. He like hands it to her and he just doesn't let go.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
His face is just completely, you know, blank.
Yeah, he's like,
so funny.
Need booze.
And then she snaps and the bottles like break and all of a sudden they get their emotions back and Alice starts crying and Elliot fucking collapses and Margo gets real pissed and she yells I planned my whole outfit around that bottle.
That was pretty funny.
All
right, so back to And Quentin, right?
Yeah, back to Quentin. He's in Dean Fogg's office, someone who we haven't really seen in a while.
Yep.
And he says, well, they talk and he's like, you know something about this. Like, you know what's happening and that, like, Fillory is real and stuff. And Dean Fogg's like, well, why should I tell you anything? And Quentin's like, when did you lose your virginity? And he's like, oh, I was 24 years old and the woman was substantially older than me. And, oh, she knew her stuff. And he's like, wait a second. You dosed me. This is the 27th time this has happened.
Dosed him with truth serum. Yep.
Yeah.
And so Dean Fogg explains.
Well, Quentin asks him, who is Eliza? And he's like, yeah, Eliza's Jane Chatwin. And we're like, oh, wow, what a surprise. Right. And then he's like, listen, she, you know, you've read the Fillory books. He's like, in the, I think it's like the girl in the.
Come on, you should know this.
Oh my God.
A, you didn't even write notes. And
the girl
B,
who told time.
You still.
The girl who told time. I wrote it down. Fuck you.
You just.
No, the girl who told time. Shut up.
Notch.
He's like, oh yeah, Ember gave her this pocket watch. I'm like, excuse you, later on, you changed that canon. So.
What do you mean?
They changed that canon. So
what do you mean? They changed it.
In this episode, they say that Ember is the one who gives Jane the pocket watch in order to manipulate time. But then in season 3, they say that the dwarves made her the pocket watch and that she got the time key, and that's how she was able to manipulate
timelines. She still could get the watch made by the dwarves.
Yeah, but then why?
And then Ember gives her the watch.
But she says later on that the dwarves are the ones who specifically gave it to her. Ember has nothing to do with it.
Who said this?
Jane.
But that was Dean Fogg. Well, Dean Fogg was going off what was in the book.
That's true.
Right? Jane was probably
and
going
as
off
we know,
what really happened.
Never trust a book.
Right. Never trust a book written by...
A pedophile. Yeah. But basically, he says that Jane had the ability to manipulate time and created time loops in order to try to stop the Beast.
Yes.
And that every...
Hey, wait a second. Speaking of time loops, you know what time it is?
Oh, God.
It's time for a commercial break. So who is our sponsor this week? Drum roll, please. Our sponsor is... Who's our sponsor?
I don't know. Let's think.
Who should be our sponsor this week?
Our sponsor is...
I think it should be the Sci-Fi Network. Because they made The Magician Show.
No one's paying us.
And they should be paying attention to our... our podcasts and our tweets.
Sure, Dad.
I tweeted them today and I said, Dad. Hey, you should listen to our podcast.
I'm sure that's 100% what they want
to be doing. And you should retweet it to all your followers. And then you should follow us and write a good review about
us. We don't even
us.
Have a Twitter for our podcast.
Well, maybe we should make one.
You have to make it.
I have to. Why do I have to make it?
Because once again, as we've discussed, I've been banned from Twitter before.
For what? Making fake accounts? You're old enough now. You can make the account.
But here's the thing. My other podcast, Extreme D&D, I don't remember the email or the password to that Twitter.
So what you're saying is you're not trustworthy.
Well, I can't keep track of more than two Twitters at once.
So let me introduce you to a friend of mine. All right? Here's a friend. It's
a pencil.
It's a pencil. Mr. Pencil. And look, there's another friend that goes with Mr. Pencil. What is this?
Paper.
Piece of paper. Yeah. You know what you can do with a pencil and a paper?
Write down things.
Yes. Like passwords.
Wow.
Things like that. So that's your tip for today.
Okay.
That is your lesson for this episode.
Thanks.
Always write down your password.
Good to know.
All right.
That's the end of that. Dean Fogg says that... every single loop has ended with Quentin dying.
Right.
He has died 39 times, and...
So, all right.
And Quentin says, wow, so we're like in this... We're stuck in this, like, blood-soaked version of Groundhog's Day. And Dean Fogg's like, you always mention that film, and I have never fucking seen it. And yeah, at this point, I'm not going to. It's a badge of pride.
Well, you should watch Groundhog's
Bill Murray.
Day. Because that's a wonderful
What
movie.
A man. Love that movie.
So let me ask you a question then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is a big spoiler.
We have spoilers on this podcast.
All right. So having the fact that I've watched to a certain end of a series.
Yeah, Dad, it's almost like there's 40 loops where Quentin fucking dies.
Well, but why didn't they bring him back for 40?
because Jane Chatwin sucks ass and doesn't take responsibility for her fucking actions. And she's like, "Oh, you can't change the past,
but
Elliot.
You don't know
what'll happen if you go back and try to stop Everett from taking all the magic." And you're like, "Bitch, you literally changed the timeline 39 fucking times." 40 fucking times! And you can't even let this man send a letter to his dead husband? His dead ex-lover? Like, you can't even let him do that? It's disgusting. Anyway, you know, I'm mad.
If Marty McFly could write a note to Doc Brown and warn him of his imminent death at the hands of
They didn't even try to fucking seance, Quentin. They didn't even try a fucking Ouija board. It's... So, makes me so mad.
Speaking of Ouija boards.
We already did one thing.
No! Did you know that was what I just talked about on my other podcast.
Oh, good, good. There's another.
There's a commercial right there for my other podcast.
Yeah.
I do a podcast. It's called Ludology. You should listen to it. It's about board games.
That's it. We're done. Anyway, my rant about season 5 is over. Don't worry. Once we get to it,
it will come back again.
And I'll be so mad, and I will have to probably stand up away from the microphone to yell.
So, Quentin finds out that he's on loop 40.
Loop 40, and that Jane changed a small thing every time and tweaked the circumstances, basically.
And this time it was?
To see if anything had changed. And this time it was...
Denying Julia entrance to the breakables.
Yeah. Yeah, so Julia is...
She's like, "I knew it!"
The different factor.
So Quentin went over to talk.
A little later.
No, it's now.
Well, no, because we cut back to the library, and we have this nice little moment of Zelda and Penny talking together, and Zelda tells Penny how, you know, all the travelers wrote, like, the best books in the library, and that, you know, if you have the chance, you'll be able to master it. And Penny's like, "Ooh, if... Did you read my book?" And she's like, "Well, no spoilers."
Do we know how good a writer Penny is?
Well, he doesn't write. You don't write your own books.
No, I'm saying that the traveler wrote the best books.
Oh yeah, I think his books would just be like fun little quips and pictures.
All right.
Yeah, but then yes, Quentin goes to Julia's apartment, and yeah, the factor
tells her what happened.
That she was supposed to be at Breakbills, and she's like, "I knew it. I fucking knew it." And also, they're standing like really far away from each other in her apartment, and I was like, "Ah, yeah, socially distancing. We love that for you." But they're very far away. But they both apologize to each other.
Yes,
Quentin tells her that he should have believed her, and Julia apologizes finally for, you know, fucking putting mind trapping Quentin in a permanent coma hellscape, and
Black Mercy'd him.
Yeah, and then they like come together and they hug, and she's like, "You still smell the same." And it's
now,
like,
"Wait, all right, this raises a very important question."
What?
What does Quentin smell like?
That's a good question. Probably books and like Axe.
Books and Axe?
Yeah, he wears Axe body spray as canon.
What?
Because Penny comes up to him. Remember when they're like gonna have the study group? He's like, "Ah, I'm in hell, and hell smells like Axe body spray." And it's Quentin, because he was so nervous about covering up the fox smell that he just sprayed himself like fucking John Cusack in Better Off Dead.
So wait a second, what flavor of Axe body smell do you think Quentin smells like?
I don't know.
Do you know your Axe body sprays?
I used to wear Axe deodorant.
Wait, you used to wear Axe deodorant? Yes. When was that?
A while ago.
Do you think he smells like coconut and black pepper?
Maybe. Or what's the other one? Like sandalwood.
Or
and...
fire or something, right?
Yeah, wood smoke.
Don't they all have names of like Dungeons and Dragons spells or something?
No.
Like magic missile or or Bigsby's grasping hand or something, oh my God. Right? How cool would that be, right?
D&D smelling.
Yeah, like what do you think Dungeons and Dragons smells like?
Sweat and basement and Doritos.
No, no,
and
that's
Mountain
not
Dew.
What that's what nerds smell like. Because people are really into Dungeons and Dragons right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they make Dungeons and Dragons candles, like dungeon smell.
What
and
does a
dragon
smell like?
Well, probably ash and brimstone and stuff.
Scales. Snake powder.
What does a snake smell
like?
Like
a snake skin and you like powder it and then
why would you powder a poor snake?
Well, the snake skin is separate.
You mean after it shed it?
Yeah.
Not like taking a
no!
snake and then just like powdering
no!
it.
No.
That would be horrible.
That would be awful.
So what do you think, like, do you think there's room in the world for a line of Dungeons, like, if there's already Dungeons and Dragons candles, do you think that there's room for Dungeons and Dragons body spray?
I think that you're a long way away from Shark Tank.
I think that that is a very financially stable idea.
Sure, Dad. But Quentin and Julia settle on the couch and they start making like a game plan because Quentin accidentally yeeted himself from the Netherlands and he asks where all of Julia's friends are, and she's like, "Oh, they're all ascended, and Katie's on a mission, and I need to find bigger, better magic." And meanwhile, Mom and I are just groaning in the corner.
What does bigger, better magic mean?
God, like God magic,
right?
Magic.
So wait, why were you? All right. So why was I groaning? You both were groaning loudly.
Why? Because Julia, because the ritual that they did. In which they summoned a god, summoned Reynard the Fox, who is a trickster god who murdered all of her friends, raped Julia, and that's the only reason Katie escaped.
But wait a second, though. Did she forget all about it?
Yes, because we're going to find this out next episode. Oh. But she calls Marina for help, and Marina wipes her like Break Bills did to her.
That's right, yeah.
And that's why she's fine in this episode.
Gotcha.
But she's not fine in the next episode, and it sucks. And
the spoilers.
Next episode is very graphic, by the way. And it sucks. It sucks. Once again, The Magicians is terrible to women. They do terrible things to women on the show.
I agree.
And especially, it's so fucking graphic and bad. And it sucks.
Right,
anyway, at this point, Julia doesn't know. Julia has been purged. That has been purged from her memory. And she's like, "Listen, look, the goddess gave me a token. It's this statue that cries milk. Isn't it great?"
Maybe that's good if you drink coffee. And you get creamer all the time.
Gross. I don't want
goddess milk.
How do
you know it's bad milk? Maybe it's delicious milk.
Well, you can be the judge of that.
Maybe it's vanilla flavored milk.
Ew. Well,
what do you mean ew?
I don't like it. I don't trust it.
Right.
But basically they're trying to figure this out, and he's like, "I need to find a way back to Fillory." And Julia says, "You want me to come to Fillory with you?" And she's like, "Quentin, we've been planning this since we were like 9 years old." And Julia reveals she still has the table from when they were little kids.
Yes.
And they go and sit under it, and you get to see the Fillory map again, and it's the hand-drawn thing, and then you get to see this wonderful shot of them, like, sitting, like, laying on the ground, looking at the table together, and it's just so wonderful. And Julia talks about how OLU, quote-unquote, told her that her destiny was to find a new kind of magic, and that it couldn't be given, only found, and that's why she's gonna.
It's a bullshit quest.
Fuck Reynard, man, he sucks ass. But she's like,
he's a good bad guy.
Yeah, he's a good bad guy. Shout out to that actor, he's so good at.
No, I'm
evil.
Saying just the like the setup is.
Good. Oh yeah, it's so upsetting. Well, that's also Marina too.
Right.
Patching the hole. But basically, they sit down for research, and Quentin gets out all the Fillory books. Once again, I want to know who did those illustrations, because they're so nice. They're all like...
How could you even see that? I just barely see them.
I pay attention.
Well, me need a bigger TV.
No.
It's just hard to see.
But they're really nice. They're like, you know, line drawings. And,
yes.
And they remind me actually a lot of illustrations from Edward Eger's Half Magic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the author. But, you know, I really love, like, line drawings and, like, children's literature, so it's always really cool.
I think there aren't enough, I mean, like, there's so many talented artists out there. They've fallen out of fashion. Yeah, I think
and
that,
it's
like,
really cool.
If you're an artist out there, you should, like, help bring back that...
Do it, it's
that,
cool.
That black and white line drawing style. Because there were so many, like, so when I was working on Ray Guns and Rocket Ships, my board game...
Yes.
That you can buy online.
Oh my
at
God,
Amazon.
Dad. Stop.
So I was trying to find an artist that could do like that because that's what I wanted the art to be in my game.
Four more pages.
I know. Yeah, you just take too many notes. So I was trying to find an artist to actually do that style of black and white line drawing. And, like, nobody does it anymore. It's so
sad. Maybe you should just learn how to do it yourself.
It's not. I'm okay artist, but I'm not that good.
Okay, well, don't beat yourself down. You're a good artist.
I'm not as good as those artists that are from those books.
From the Fillory books?
No, what's his name? Pyle. Have you ever seen that guy? The artist? Famous artist. He's done, like, Treasure
He's
Island.
He's that guy, you know?
You'd know his art if you saw it.
Probably.
He does a lot of pirate stuff and knights. Anyway, or, like, Arthur Rackham. You know that guy? I need to educate you on... You say you're an artist, you're going to art classes.
Art classes, not art school.
Yeah, I know, not art school. But I will educate you on all these cool artists.
But basically, they look through the books and they find they don't know how to get back to Fillory, but they do know that the Chatwins always, like, dated when they went to Fillory. So if they can just find the Chatwins, they can find Fillory.
It's not a bad plan.
Yeah, and so basically they find out that Jane Chatwin, you know, went through a telephone box or whatever. And
yeah, they have the date.
They have the date in the day. And so they're like, okay, well, we need to go to break bills for this. And Julia has an alumni key given to her by Richard. And well, Quentin also says, she's like, well, if we went back to Fillory in the past, wouldn't we be in Fillory in the past? And Quentin says, well, you know, Jane went 20 years in the future and then made a bargain with the Watcherwoman and got sent back. And what I'm saying is that once you're there in Fillory, there's always a way.
Right.
Which is wonderful. I love unpredictable magic and fantasy. It's so fun. But we cut back to Margot and Elliot, and they're in the library, and Elliot is reading Mike McCormick's book. Wow, guys, he's a fucking Republican. I hate him.
So first of all,
Who is
Mike McCormick again?
His ex-boyfriend.
Oh, that guy that broke his neck?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. He's reading that, I'm like, is this like an in-joke
like,
or
you're
something?
You're like, I should know this.
Well, it was on the book.
Yeah, Dad, but Michael McCormick.
First, I thought it was just some rando that
shelf. But basically, Margot comes up and she's like, why are you reading that? Like, you know, he's already dead. Like, you know how it ends. and he's like, the worst part is that his life was actually, like, happy. And she's like, no, you gotta, like, get over this.
Yeah, you gotta get over murdering your boyfriend.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Why are you dwelling on murdering your own boyfriend?
She's like, Elliot, you're just, like, you're hurting yourself. And Elliot, like, throws the book in the trash and lights it on fire. And she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, forgetting the past. And then Zelda's like, what are you doing?
You know, like, Zelda just shows up out of nowhere, fire extinguisher.
She zings in, yeah. Great. She puts it out and she's like, You can't damage the books. You are banished forever from the library. And whoosh, they're all shitted back out into the Netherlands. And yes. It's like, rip, guys.
Terrible.
And, you know, all the spawn campers are there. And they chase after them. And then we cut back to Break Bills. And they're looking through different time machines that they just randomly have.
At Break Bills.
Yeah, they got, like, Titanic and fucking whatever. And then they find one that some students were going to use to kill Hitler. But then Hitler was a pretty good battle magician, apparently, and killed all the students.
Yes.
And so,
now, what I like was that their plan, they had, like, the plan of how they were going to kill Hitler.
Yeah.
And it says, die Hitler. If that was a joke on The Simpsons, it would be die Hitler.
Uh-huh.
Get it?
Uh-huh.
That's a German joke.
Yeah.
I know you speak French, but not German.
Yeah, speak German.
I do. Ein bisschen.
But Quentin says, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but thank God for Hitler. And Julia's like, yeah, no, don't say that.
Don't say that.
But the date is only 2 days off. And right. So they time travel back.
That's nice. You get to spend two nice days in England. Well, so wait a second. All right. Let me ask this question.
It's April 21st, 1942.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. This is the time traveler's conundrum.
Yes.
They're in Breakbills.
Yes.
Where is Breakbills?
It's in upstate New York.
Right. And they time travel to where?
England.
But how the hell do they...
Did you not pay... I'm literally about to say it. So we cut back to the Netherlands.
Did I pay attention? I think we've already established after 11 episodes that there are things that I miss.
You don't pay attention because we need to talk about this. So they get to I will explain to you because it's the scene after this. But basically they go to the Netherlands. We're back with the Scooby Gang minus Quentin. And they're running away. They're hiding. And then they come across this hooded figure. And he takes off his hood. And he goes, hey, oh my God. Josh Homer, class of 2013.
Yay.
Come with me if you want to live. I've always wanted to say that.
What is that movie from? What movie line is that from?
Terminator 2.
No, just the first
one. Just the first one.
Well, it is in all the other ones.
Ha, so I'm right.
No, but you're really, from the Terminator. Terminator originated...
2 is the best movie, so.
Terminator 1's pretty good.
Mm-hmm, but anyway, so they go to Shea Hoberman.
Yeah,
he's been camped out for
Josh
a couple weeks.
Is there.
Yes, and he's been growing psychedelic carrots and all kinds of foods because they react weirdly to the Netherlands.
Yeah, weird and pizza-flavored tomatoes.
Josh reveals
But isn't
that
a tomato, like... Pizza is already tomato-flavored, right?
I mean, yeah. Just a little bit to the left.
But, I mean, it's like, if it's pizza, what makes it pizza-flavored? Like, for example, if you get a Pringles and it's pizza-flavored, what is about the flavor that makes it
essence
pizza
flavor? Essence of
pizza. But what is it? Is it tomato? Is it garlic? Is it basil? Is it cheese?
I think this is an existential question you need to ask yourself.
I think I need to buy some Pringles is what I think I need.
Josh reveals that he knows Victoria and that she's the one that brought them there. And they're like, why did you even come to the Netherlands? And he's like, well, we were going to Fillory for spring break.
Yeah.
Great. And the whole word got out except to like three students who were normies.
So wait a second, though. Who were the, were those three students?
So those were the ones who
Charlie.
Were sad. No, those were the ones who were sadly walking down like the quad.
Oh,
in the first episode. The remaining student, class of 2013.
I thought Charlie was like the...
No,
that class.
No, he died
before
earlier.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, anyway.
But also, may I note, I have conflicting feelings about Josh Hoberman.
Why? Josh is great.
I like Book Josh.
Yeah, I love
Book
Josh.
It really depends on the day for TV Josh.
Why?
Because on one hand, I love...
Is it because there's too much Josh in the TV show?
Yeah, honestly.
Because Josh in the book is like there.
There's too much Josh.
And not in the book.
No offense to Trevor Einhorn. I think you are a swell person and you've got a wonderful personality. And that's why I like Josh, honestly, is that the Trevor shines through, you know? Because
right.
He's such a cool dude.
Okay.
But like, Josh as like a character in the TV show sucks ass.
And what do you mean he sucks ass?
He's just
nerdy.
Because he fucking cheated on his girlfriend. And
wait,
he's...
what? They did not establish that they were girlfriend boyfriend.
That's later.
No, they were friends.
They literally says later in season 3 that I'm...
Season 3, we're not even there yet.
But I'm just saying that man
sucks. We're not even
sucks.
Near season 3
But he
yet.
Sucks. He sucks.
You're prematurely indicting
Josh. I like
Josh,
but it really it depends on the scene. Is basically what it is.
Are you saying a little Josh goes a long way?
A little Josh goes a long way. All
right.
But and you
I
know what? But
that.
I will say, in all that Josh, I like him. So, you know, maybe maybe all that Josh was just enough Josh.
I have a feeling that you're gonna Detroit Become Human on Josh.
No.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you need to do more Josh paintings.
No, I don't.
Why not?
Don't want to.
Josh is so nice. And then just think Trevor will be your pal.
No.
He'll be like, oh, thank you for painting beautiful pictures of me.
We're done.
All right.
We're done.
So Josh is like, we're going to...
His Fillory sexual conquest and how he and Victoria fucked a naiad and some guy named Donnie fucked a horse. And they're like, yeah, we get it. Bestiality. Cool, dude.
Yeah, not,
gross.
Not cool.
And
but the horse did talk, right?
Yeah, so it could consent, but it was still weird. but he talks
then,
about how they got roped into a quest and they got tricked.
And like I say, this is why you should never do quests.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, we got, like, got fucking murdered by this dude, this Mothra. And they're like, yeah, we know he's the beast.
Yes.
And they're like, but how do we even get to the Fillory Fountain? And Josh is like, oh, easy, just 3 squares up and 1 square left.
That's right.
Like, yeah.
Josh is, like, the only guy who can keep track of this stuff. Everybody else is like, oh, where do we go? We
yeah.
don't know. It all looks the same.
But
it's not true. They all have different cappers in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, but then we cut to... Quentin and Julia in Margot's room going to the portal that takes them to Elliot and Margot's favorite pub that's in England.
Oh, is that what that
that's
was?
That's how they got to the haunted house before, right, remember, Dad?
No.
And also we get to see a bunch of, like, photos of,
okay,
like,
so
Quentin
to...
and Alice and Elliot and Margot and the gang, minus Penny, all hanging out together in little pictures and snapshots, and it's all great.
Right.
I love
all
it.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, but, right, and they talk about how, like, Julia's trying to find out what magic is actually for. And Quentin's
like, plot
device. Yeah, and he's like, but what is it actually for? Because it's so frustrating. Nothing ever gets done, and it just sucks. And she's like, you know, magic's for fixing things. And my whole insides were just like,
why is that? Shouldn't make your insides, because that's the whole thesis, really, of the show.
Of the show.
Right. I mean, it's not...
Of the show?
Yeah.
Of the show, Dad?
Yeah.
Of the show?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Of the show.
Well, because there's two theses. All right,
I think...
You're already
think,
getting teary-eyed. We're not even...
I think that it's the
magic is pain.
Magic is pain.
But...
In the TV show, I think magic is for fixing things in the book.
No, I think the thesis of the show is magic is for fixing things. I think the real thesis of what happened is... magic is pain. I think that from the book to the TV show, it is magic
got
is
lost,
for fixing.
I think it got lost in translation.
I think that they got excited
about magic
is pain,
from pain,
and that they leaned into that harder then magic is fixing things.
And that's what sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this happens, right? This kind of creative misinterpretation. Somebody creates something, mm-hmm. right? Like writes a book or something, and it has a very definitive message. And then other people, they get excited about other aspects of that creation, and it ends up changing it from what the original intent was.
Yeah.
I think that is what happened. I think, if anything, all your frustration and anger about things that happen in this show, I think, comes down to you read the books, you interpret them one way.
I watched the show before I read the books.
Well, but I think that you picked up on that message in the show. And then when that didn't go that way,
the little sliver of hope we had, and then it was just snipped.
Then when the other message ended up being the one that was
prevailed,
that's when you got mad.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I figured you out.
Okay.
And hopefully it's helped mend you.
No.
No.
Still
never.
Mad. Still
maybe.
Mad.
Maybe by the end of this process.
Oh, absolutely not. If we're watching season 5, absolutely not.
You need to come to terms.
No.
Maybe I can help.
I will die angry.
As your father. Maybe the actual quest of this podcast is for you to come and find peace finally with the magicians.
No.
Maybe I can help you with that.
No. No.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll come back. We'll talk to me again. And how long is this going to take?
Oh, so long.
I know. It's going
to
be so long.
We cut to Alice and Penny, and she's, you know, stressing over.
Wait a second. Wait. I want to say one other thing.
Yes.
And that is the thing that I do. I mean, I'm not ready to give my moth rating yet.
Yeah, we're not even done.
I know. But one of the things I appreciate...
You kept going on ad tangents.
One of the things I appreciate the most... We're not talking about ads right now. The one thing I appreciate the most about this episode is that it lays a lot of groundwork for other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, back to...
Sexy world.
All right. We already talked about Alice and her thing shirt.
But Alice and Penny talk, and she's stressing over Quentin not being able to see Fillory. Because she's like, you know, it feels unfair that he doesn't get to see
it.
But then she's like... Then I remember that I hate him. And it's like, oh, God. And Penny's like, listen, Quentin is irrelevant. You need to stop, like, being neurotic and, like, self-sabotaging. And you know what to do because you're a smart person.
Sure.
And he's like, cut the bullshit.
Penny is completely right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good advice to give to
his friend. Yeah, he says to Alice, you're one of the few people I actually respect.
Yes, that's
And
true.
She's like, I'm sorry I'm being weird about sleeping together. And he's like, listen, we're friends. Like, it was weird. It was a thing that happened. But
right.
That's it.
Right.
That's
but I think was. But I think Penny also is being a little too... I think this character is being written a little too unrealistically. I don't think...
He has a big heart.
Penny
and he's
from
friends with
the
Alice.
Book
it's a
would
different,
never...
A
I know.
Completely different character.
But they should change his name then. Ah, they did it for Margot.
Yeah, well, all they right. just didn't like the name Janet.
Once again, though, I think that Penny, the character, I don't know, man. That whole little lecture, or not lecture, but like...
A lot of Penny's characteristics got transplanted into Quentin, into the show. Like his like
right.
big love of research and
stuff like that.
And, you know, some of Quentin's shittier characteristics got transplanted into... Penny Ford.
I like the message,
mm-hmm.
and I like, but it, I was conflicted about, it didn't, Penny, all right, you got to look at it from my perspective now, as a guy, right, all right, you already give me that look, oh my God, that look, you guys should see this look they're giving me. So, Penny could have been saying all that stuff to help tear down Quentin, and to keep him
he's just
up.
A nice person. Can you just accept that, like, Penny is like a genuinely
I'm starting
like,
to warm up
person?
To Penny finally. He doesn't seem like the antagonist anymore. But that said, in that situation,
he doesn't have an ulterior motive. He's just trying to be encouraging and a helper. Stop fucking freaking out. And also, he's trying to like reassure
I will
of this
chalk
things
this
that
up to Penny being a fictional character.
Oh my God. Okay. He is. You're welcome.
All right, so
but
meanwhile,
no,
in
but
Fillory,
Alice
or Netherlands,
Alice says to them, oh. Phosphomancy. That's how we're gonna get through the Netherlands and sneak past.
Yeah, finally, somebody remembers on the writing staff that she can do something.
Well, you asked if that was ever gonna become relevant again. Here it is, relevant.
Well, somewhat relevant.
And we see as they set out that Elliot has pocketed one of the psychedelic carrots. and then we cut back to Quentin and Julia.
With
and
their Doctor Who device.
They time travel, and also we see this woman walking two corgis, and it's amazing.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she's in the background. I zoomed in on it, because it was awesome. All
right.
And then they time travel to 1942 England, and they, like, land on the ground, and then they see some, like, planes flying over in some air raid silence, and they're like, ooh, we gotta get out of here.
World War II.
Uh-oh. And then we come back to the Netherlands.
I have to say that everybody is not reacting at all to the fact that there are Messerschmitts flying over England.
Well, it's just like in a random park.
But people would have been freaking out.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
But
you don't want to get bombed or shot.
Yeah, well, they're dumb millennials.
No, I'm saying that they should have at least had some people like scatter.
Yeah, well, there weren't any people there.
Were
it was
there?
Just them.
Oh, I thought
that's
I
why.
Saw somebody walking corgis.
Yeah, that's before they time travel.
Oh,
that.
Okay.
But then we come back to the Netherlands and they're sneaking around. But then you know,
and
Elliot's tripping balls, and like Margot's face gets all weird. And then he like strays away and accidentally.
You know, he falls out of the
yeah,
cloak of invisibility.
Yeah, well, because as Alice says to she says, Penny and Elliot, you guys are tall, so you have to like bend
right.
over and
like
stand
that.
Next to
I like
me.
That. It was only the height of
yeah.
Alice.
And so Elliot gets he gets out of like
he
the little
gets left
invisibility.
It has a cool effect actually.
Yeah.
I liked him kind of
and then
falling out of
the little spawn camper dude like preps his battle magic and then he gets fucking shot in the chest.
By
and Margot says, "Yeah, I brought a gun."
That's like
you're welcome.
That's like one of the great moments in the book, right?
It's
is
so
when
good.
She's like, "I brought a gun to Fillory."
It's so good. And she's like, he's like, "Wow, Bambi, you saved my actual life." And she's like, "Yeah, great. You live to drink another day."
Yeah.
And it sucks because their friendship is just having a
it's
time.
It's in a bad place.
Yeah. And then they all jump into the fountain because they get, because the
except
gunshot.
For Elliot, who like falls into
yeah,
the fountain.
Yeah, well, the gunshot attracts the, I'm
the,
just, spawn campers.
Yes.
And, but then Penny gets like slightly separated and it's Eve, that woman who he met the first time.
Yep.
And she is like about
shoots
to like.
She goes to shoot a fireball and she misses again.
Yep.
Terrible shot.
Yeah, and then Penny does battle magic and he slashes
her.
She fucking dies.
Yep, she's dead.
F in the chat, guys.
Oh, well.
And then we cut to the past again. It's Quentin and Julia, and they're, like, basically stalking Jane Chatwin, looking through the window, watching her buy stuff. And they're like, "Oh, my God, it's actually her." And I'm like, "Yeah, wow." It's almost like she wears the exact same clothing.
Well, that's how you know who she is, right?
Just a little beret, a little cape.
Well, no, because look at, all right, first of all, you may mock her, but that's how people dress. They only
yeah.
have one set of
no,
clothes.
No, I just think it's funny.
Secondly, we've seen Jane Chatwin dressed up in like three different other disguises. Yeah,
yeah.
Paramedic.
Yeah,
and
but that's
then, like,
when
the
she's
beginning
older.
Of
that's
the
when she's older.
Show.
When she's a child, she's only in
right,
the
she
cape
only
and
owns
beret.
One,
she only owns one pair of clothes.
Because they got sent off to Plover's house.
And he stole all their clothes?
No, and they only had one the clothes on their back because they had to get out of World War II.
Yeah.
Right? They had to, like, go up to the country home and live.
Wow, it's just like Narnia.
Yeah, it's just like Narnia. Do you think those kids in Narnia wore anything other than the same? Look in those books. There are five books, and
five
those kids never change their clothes.
Just
they're
sweaters.
Like Scooby-Doo. It's
uh-huh.
like Shaggy wearing the same clothes all the time, right? That's what you do
mm-hmm.
when you get sent up to somebody's house
mm-hmm.
during the war.
But they,
if I had to uh-huh. send you somewhere during the war, you would only have what you're wearing right now.
Okay, I look pretty nice. So.
Yeah, not bad today.
Thanks, Dad. But they watch Jane Chatwin go through the telephone box, and as she opens the door to the telephone box, leaves fly out, and there's some wind and golden light, and she steps through.
Well, she very
and then,
happily prances through.
Yeah, and then they like, the music.
So wait, how did she know she was going to Fillory through that door?
Because Fillory can appear anywhere, pull you anywhere.
Right.
It's not like a fixed location.
But it's not like, I mean, all right. I mean, it just didn't seem like she was like, "Oh, look, the door to Fillory opened again." You know, it was like
she
got knew
a
it was
she got
gonna
like a feeling.
Yeah, like she
and
knew
you
it
feel
was
the
gonna
magic or something.
Is that what happens?
I don't know.
Have you ever felt the magic?
New slogan. But they
Filler and Father.
Yeah.
Feel the magic.
That's terrible. But they like quote from the book and he's like, oh, Jane, are you ready to go to Fillory? And she's like, why? Yes, Martin, I think I am. And they like cross the street and open it.
Oh, how horrible would it have been if they had been hit by a car?
Oh my God. Getting across the street,
right?
But they go through, yay, and the golden light
Quentin
lights up.
Quentin gets to go to Fillory,
and
finally.
The music box
11
theme
episodes.
Plays. 12.
Or 12 episodes later.
But the music box theme plays, and they step out in this giant tree, and like everything's bathed in like golden light and like saturated and full of color, and they're like so excited and looking at each other, and then they look out and they see Castle White Spire in the distance.
Yes,
and
a very nice map
and then
painting.
That's the end of the episode.
That's
and so
end.
Fun.
And that's it. That's the end of the show.
That's
right?
The end of the show, guys.
Everybody
wow.
got to go to Fillory. They had a nice time.
Yeah,
had,
nothing bad happened to Julia. She met a goddess.
They had
you know?
Tea with a centaur.
Yeah.
And some badgers.
Yeah.
And then they had some a couple of adventures.
Yep, totally.
And they
that was
all
it.
Got
that was it. They all
they
became
got gifts.
Kings and queens.
They all and they got gifts, Christmas gifts. And then that was the end, right?
That was the end.
That's the end of the story.
That's the end. Yay.
Yay. Are we done with the podcast?
No.
Oh, all right.
So
we have to keep going.
So what's your moth rating for this episode?
All right. I'm gonna give it a 4.
Ah.
Because I like all the setting up that was done, and mm-hmm. there's some nice bits in there, and I think that everybody did some good acting, it was full of stuff, but it actually moved the plot along, like lots of plot moving, and we got the Fillory finally.
Yay! Now where is the father?
What is your moth rating?
My moth rating is a 5 out of 5.
Why?
Because Alice Quinn calls Quentin Coldwater
right,
a fucking whore.
Right. Hey,
even
language.
If we don't get to hear her say it, we got to see her mouth the words.
Yeah,
and that's all
like
I need.
You mouthing those words. That's
as she he deserved it, and it's wonderful, and I love it.
Harsh,
it's my favorite.
I don't think it's appropriate.
It's my favorite.
Bad
this
language.
Is a TVMA television show.
Yeah, I know. And they obviously could not say those words, even though it was MA. Right?
Yeah,
do you think they like went over their budget of swears?
The beef.
Yeah, like there's because there is like some of those mm-hmm. shows have a budget of how many bad words you can say, right? Mm-hmm. So why was that bad word not said, but other ones were?
Yeah.
So another mystery for
drama.
Us to look into.
All
right. So speaking of mysteries, is there anything mysterious or interesting going on in the world of Fillory fandom?
Fillory.
That's our new segment.
Magicians.
It's just called Fillory Fandom.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Is that what we're calling it?
We're going
it?
For alliteration.
Okay. Well, actually, there is coming up I forget the name of it. It's like this harvest.
It's called October?
No, shut up. It's like this harvest event that takes place in November, and it's a Qualiat like writing event.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the...
Wait, for those of you that don't know
For those Qualiat... who enjoy the pairing Quentin and Elliot.
Oh, okay.
Do
they stand... Have you stan it?
No.
What's stan again?
Ugh.
It's support it, right?
Nah, it's like a term for like a crazy fan.
Oh, I thought it's like you stan. What is that called then when you support?
Ship.
Ship, thank you.
Yeah.
I knew it was something with an S.
But there is that event that is happening in November. I think all the month of November. It is it's run by the same people who did the Folklore event, which was a Taylor Swift inspired Qualiat writing event.
Wow, that's a lot of references in one go.
Yeah. And then also, this is way in advance, but my friends are organizing it. But in February, there is going to be a Magicians Femme / February event,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be dedicated to all of the like female ships in the Magicians. So like Margot and Alice.
Malice?
Yeah, that's what's called. Katie and Julia, which is called Wyckoff. I love that name. They're also like Fargo, Fenn, and Margot. Whiskey, which is Alice and Julia. And
a bottle of whiskey.
And I can name more, but...
All right. So when is the...
That's in February.
When is the my fan fiction... idea gonna get made?
Well,
which is,
Dad, you know November is NaNoWriMo, so you could just do that.
What is NaNoWriMo?
Is National Novel Writing Month.
Novel? I don't want to write a whole novel.
Good.
That's pretty long. How long does it have to be?
I don't know. They're, usually people set like word count goals and do that. I've only participated in... it depends on the story. I mean, like, the thing that I'm writing currently, the one shot I'm writing, is at almost 9,000 words, and I'm barely done. So, you know.
What's it about?
Oh, it's a TV and book crossover for The Magicians.
Right.
And it happens when both the boat quests are going on, because Quentin and Quentin switch places, and they go to different, their different boat quests.
I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Yeah, you're not going to get to yet.
Okay.
But I'm having fun writing.
Well, I'm waiting for my idea.
Why don't you write it?
I'm waiting for someone to do my idea, which is the Magicians DC Comics crossover.
Why don't you do
that? So then you could have, like, Elliot as Batman and Quentin as Robin. Or you could have Margot as Wonder Woman. Or you could have Alice as, I don't know who Alice would be. I'd have to think about it.
Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy, maybe. Catwoman.
No.
No?
Poison Ivy.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway.
So you like that idea.
Sure. But, yeah.
All right.
A lot of stuff coming up.
All right. Well, where can
people find you?
Me first?
Yeah, you.
Usually we do you first.
No, we switch.
Okay. All right. Well, you can find me online at Twitter, and you can find me at Instagram. And the Facebooks.
What's your usernames for all those things, Dad?
Mostly Mighty Bedbug or Scott Rogers. You can find me on Amazon Prime in the movie Game Master with you as we talk about board games, which is what I make sometimes. And where else could you find me?
I don't know.
You could take a time machine back to 1968.
Well, when you were getting born.
Right, when I was getting born. Yeah, thanks for outing my age there. what about maybe more like in the 80s when I was in college and handsome and young? All right. And where can they find you if they took a time machine?
2001.
And where were you in 2001?
Popping out.
Well, you weren't popping out till more than halfway.
We're done with this.
All right, where can we find you online that we are not popping out?
You can find me on Twitter at @wow_then, and you can find me on Instagram at @fishyduaros, and also find me on Patreon under the same name, fishyduaros. And
oh, I keep forgetting to mention my Patreon.
Yeah, you can keep forgetting.
Scott Rogers, game designer, I think it is. I make games. If you like games and you have lots of money, join my Patreon. How many patrons are you up to?
Me?
Yeah.
I have 8.
Oh, man. I'm always one behind you. Somebody join my Patreon so I can have one, so I can at least match Evelyn's headcount.
No.
All right. So that's it. Oh, thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you for listening.
We love getting your feedback. We love getting your comics.
Thank you again to Mai for doing like 3 different live tweets of our episodes.
Awesome.
It's very good.
Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Share the link to the podcast.
Share the love.
Share the love. Write good reviews. We love hearing from you.
Yeah.
And that way we actually know you're out there listening.
Yeah.
And we're not just talking to each other in my bedroom into a microphone, which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
That is what podcasters do.
Yes.
And we are officially, we are 12 episodes in. Can you believe it?
That's a lot of episodes.
That is a lot of episodes.
And next time will be 13.
Yay.
Which is the finale, the season finale of season 1 of The Magicians called Did You Bring Me Little Cakes? And guess what? We're going to have a special
Our first guest.
Oh,
I bet you can guess
who it is.
You already know who it is because we've mentioned it so many times. No spoilers. All right.
This is a spoiler-full podcast.
All right. Anyway, well, thank you for listening. And is there anything else?
No.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Fillory and Father.
Yay.
We did it. Hooray.
Is that our tagline?
I think that's our tagline. All right. Well, you made it up.
Well, that's because it's a real feat.
Okay. To finish an episode. All right. Well, it's probably a feat for them to listen to it. So thank you.
Thank you. Bye.